No, I'm fun. Just W keying this, dude.
I just know W key. Keeps me moving.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the W Key Podcast. Episode number 12 coming at you, the second episode of the new year. How the hell are you? How's your year going so far? Ours is great. With you as always, my name's Josh. My trusty co-host is Matt.
AKA Technique. Hey, how you doing there, folks?
Always plugging. We are at it again. Almost the end of January. And we're dropping the second episode of the year. So far, our year's been great. We've had a lot of good stuff happening. There's been a lot of interesting things kind of happening gaming-wise, too, which is pretty cool. Some disheartening things, but I think there's a positive take on some of the bad things in my mind, which we'll talk about a little bit in the episode. So we're just going to jump right into it. First things first, Valkyrie.
Signed with
YouTube. Exclusive. Jump from Twitch, went to YouTube, much like Courage.
JD,
also a member of 100 Thieves.
I
would say Pokey's. Yeah, I would say Pokey's right up there.
Like these two are kind of like they're big names, so it's like the first huge female domino for a streamer has fallen, and she's going to join her fellow 100 Thieves mate Courage over at YouTube, which I think is pretty interesting if you ask me.
It is interesting, and you know, yeah, I would say she's the first big female streamer to make a jump. Like Ewok's big for sure, not nearly on the level that like Pokey or Valkyrie is on. I think Pokey's still got Valkyrie. She's got some outside things. Like Valkyrie just streams for the most part. Obviously, she's part of 100 Thieves, which is arguably probably the biggest esports organization on the planet right now. So there's that, and that kind of gives her a big boost. But Pokey's got a lot of outside things. So she's got her own clothing line and yada, yada, yada. So I think Pokemon's got a lot more in her portfolio compared to Ray. Mm-hmm. But it's still a huge jump. And you know, it's taken a little bit longer than I think either of us thought it would for like a big, big female streamer to make a jump. So that's kind of interesting. I figured it would have happened sooner.
Well, I mean, I feel like signing streamers to contracts in general have slowed down a little bit.
So it has, yeah.
Didn't her thing kind of leaked too? Like, I think some reporter or someone like posted a article about it. And then just kind of, I didn't look into it 100%, but I'm pretty sure I heard it. Someone got some information on it. They put a thing out saying it was going to happen, and she just like instantly dropped her announcement video she had prepared. Like, yeah, I am going to do this. So it kind of pushed her announcement along. So instead of like letting this guy get like clout and recognition for his article, she just kind of like destroyed him by just like, yeah, well, here's my video, so everyone can just watch that now instead.
Yeah, that's interesting because I didn't happen to see anything about that. All I saw was her, you know, everyone's doing these announcement things like huge announcement coming tomorrow at 12 p.m. Pacific time. So all I really saw was her doing that announcement thing, you know, and I figured there's a lot of streamers that are doing that for like their clothing launches or like, you know, new partnerships with stuff like that. So I figured, you know, I was like, maybe because honestly, I didn't.
I mean, it's always tough.
Ray was never really on my radar.
Yeah.
For a jump. Yeah. So not that she's not like big enough to warrant a platform coming after her and giving her a lot of money. She's so nice and like, you know, just she's just that the nicest person that whenever I've watched her stream that I just didn't think she would have like the business savvy to do something like that.
She just loves streaming, so she kind of just chugs along instead of, I guess, kind of looking for deals,
but at the same time she's got a team behind her, and obviously 100 Thieves is there too, so that, you know, from my perspective that's sort of a naive way to look at things. It's interesting. So I saw the announcement, and then obviously that next day, and I thought it was funny, kind of like a sidetrack, that I saw something on Twitter. I can't remember who it was from, but it was just kind of like joking on the fact that these streamers spend like tons of money to make their announcement videos. They're like quality, like, you know, movie level, like trailers, or like, you know,
cinema,
what you'd consider
cinema. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Which I think is kind of funny because it is true. Like they've put a lot of she put a lot of money. Well, I would imagine she put a lot of money, or someone put a lot of money into announcement video, because it was really good quality. It was an interesting video for sure. I think it's interesting that she's the second member of 100 Thieves to move. The only reason I say that is because I don't, you know, whether or not anyone listening is familiar with the fact, but Nate Schott is actually really good friends with Fwizz. Ryan Fwizz. Fwizz is his online name. Ryan something. I forget his last name. But he is the head of YouTube Gaming. So there is some interesting connections there, I feel like, because of the fact that two members of 100 Thieves have jumped to YouTube. I'm not saying that every member is going to, but I would sort of lean more now on the fact that maybe more are going to jump. You know, Nate Schott himself might. There's a couple, you know, like Cease, Elevate, Noah.
All these contracts have been going out to, you know, single streamers, single personalities, people. So, like, what's the next logical step from going from signing single streamers? The next step from that is to sign organizations to exclusive stream deals. So, like, you say not everyone is going to go to YouTube. I mean, yeah, I highly doubt it's going to happen for an entire org force all their employees essentially to go stream on this one platform, but I mean, it's definitely in the realm of possibility. Like, you go from, that's the next step, you go from signing single streamers to signing entire orgs to, hey, your squad will stream exclusively on our platform, yay nay, let's do this. So I mean, yeah. I won't be surprised if it happened, but like I said, it's definitely interesting to look at, you know, 200 Thieves people, two high level 100 Thieves members.
Oh, the highest of the content creators for sure.
Leaving Twitch and both going to the same platform. I mean, obviously they talk, they all talk. So I don't know if, you know, Courage got into her ear, Nate Shaw got into her ear, this or that. So, I mean, obviously they live together. So plenty of conversation going on around all this stuff. Oh, they don't? I thought they all moved into the new 100 Thieves house together or whatnot.
So they moved, 100 Thieves got a new content creation house,
but
Valkyrie moved out to live with Sunny, and Nate Shot actually moved out too. So
is Jack is in the new house
right now? I think it's just Courage. Unless they've got other, you know, content creators that they're
gonna add new people. Well, nonetheless, they did live together, I'm sure.
Yeah, they did. If you watch the video, yeah, exactly. So. And if you watch that his announcement video again, she says it's a little like super innocuous line, and she might have already known back then that she was making the jump. But she said, "Well, if Jack's leaving, then I'm leaving too." Like, it's so funny. Like, everyone's like coming back through his announcement video, like, "Oh my god, she told us way back then
from us the entire time."
So I thought that was kind of interesting. Honestly,
these deals do, I feel like, I mean, because like the deals can get done before then. But then they just got to wait for their contract with their current streaming platform to be up. So obviously she was probably on contract maybe until now. And then all of a sudden it's like, all right, I had this deal done for months on end, and now I can finally do it because my deal with Twitch is done. So
they
could have had it all figured out back then. So just jumping a little
you know, circling back to your comment about like the orgs getting signed. I mean, I think it's possible, because right now what's happening is the streamers getting signed by the platform. The platform's paying the streamer. What could happen is the platform signs the org, gives the org a ton of money, then the org just takes that money and gives it to the streamer. So, you know, it's just it's just at that point, it's just, how is the money changing hands, you know?
Yeah.
And then that makes your decision of what org to go to also have some weight too, because because you have to decide what platform you want to stream on. Now, I do think that it's probably unlikely that it's going to shift to something like that, because if you have someone who is a massive streamer on Twitch and they decide they want to jump to a new org, and then they have to go to YouTube because that's the org streams exclusively on YouTube, you're losing all that following. So that streamer becomes, you know, not as valuable as he was.
That's where I'm hesitant to say, like, oh yeah, the next big thing is shining orgs. Obviously, streamers are gonna want to be able to stream to where they can get, I guess, the most numbers or this or that. So that's like the one hang up is, if a streamer's huge on Twitch and they want to sign this org, but this org can only stream on YouTube, it's like, well, I don't really want to do that, but I want to be a part of this org. So to me, that's the one big holdup stopping for orgs from being signed by big platforms.
And you can see like what's happened with Ninja and Shroud with their jump to Mixer. You know, their numbers have gone down. And so when you are a streamer and you build your community on one platform, you know, signing with a new organization, you know, that's a huge boost because that organization has a lot of loyal followers. But at the same time, is that enough to make up for what you're losing by having to jump platforms? So it's an interesting thought, and it might happen in the future. But I would kind of agree with you. I'm somewhat hesitant to kind of really back that idea just because you would be, you know, the org's going to sign a streamer for X amount of dollars, but then the minute they make them jump to a different platform, they instantly lose. That's a losing deal for the org because that streamer is not going to have the biggest following that that streamer did before they made the jump. So that's a tough pickle.
I can see something, I guess, along the lines of not forcing like all your people in your org to stream on a single platform, but you could just be like, oh, we are 130s. We are, I don't know, affiliated, associated, like supported by YouTube Gaming. I can see something along the lines of YouTube Gaming could sponsor them.
Sponsored.
You can kind of sponsor certain orgs, but not have to make all your members.
Not have an exclusivity contract.
Yeah. That I can see kind of, you know, starting it off. But
yeah. So it's kind of interesting. So it's going to be kind of cool to see how 2020 plays out with 100 Thieves as a whole. Because, I mean, if more people jumped in, I mean, it's nice. It's nice to mix up the streaming world because, you know, we've talked about it a bunch of times, especially whenever a big streamer jumps, we always say, you know, competition's good. It's good for Twitch to get some competition. It's good for, you know, Mixer to get some big streamers. It's good for YouTube because YouTube's already got so much going for it as far as just the video, the vlogging, all, you know, what YouTube's known for, but then building their streaming side of the house is really important for them, and they've got a ton of money to throw around too.
YouTube is number second, is which I was kind of surprised by. I thought it was Mixer was in second, but then when all these contracts coming out, it's like, oh no, YouTube's actually second. Like, oh
yeah, right. And they got a ton of money to throw around. So they got all that Google money to throw around. So
yeah, I mean, they, like you said, to me, like if I was a bigger streamer, honestly, I think I'd probably make the swap to YouTube just because obviously every streamer has a YouTube channel that they do their highlights or this or that too.
Yeah.
So to me, it kind of just makes sense to have everything consolidated in one area. You got your streaming here and you got your videos, your YouTube channel videos here. So to me, I think, you know, going to YouTube kind of makes a lot of sense for bigger people.
Yeah, I think it does too. I think they need to streamline some things, like to find someone that's live is very difficult. Like you can go to their YouTube page, but it doesn't always show it like right at the top.
I always try to look for like Courage, like if he's streaming like, you know, Tim or something like that, like, oh, let me pop in, see how it's going over here. I can't get to this goddamn thing.
Like you have to hit like eight different buttons to get there.
It's to type it in up top. It's like youtube.com/couragejg/live, and they always bag on him, like, oh, look at two slashes on it. Like, what do you think?
Tim's asked him, like, how do you get to it, you know, if you're just on the line? And Courage is like, you gotta like click on this button, and then you gotta click on this button, and then you gotta click over here to this button, and Tim's always just like, are you kidding me? Like, what the hell?
If they gotta make their live streaming a bit easier to find. Like, I don't understand how you can't go to his YouTube page and there'd be a button,
be a live
something
tab
there. Yeah, like, oh, he's live. Let's go to him now. Like, that to me makes no sense how that's not already implemented into the website.
I mean, but like we think that's like, that would be the easiest way to do it. But honestly, just typing in couragejd/live is not that hard either. It's just people just want to click, you know, that's the biggest thing. Cause like all these big streamers, all these big YouTubers have their own unique URL for their YouTube channel. So really all you're just going to do is add the /live to it. So that's not really that hard. It is sort of an inconvenience, and I can understand. And I mean, and from a practical standpoint, it is just stupid that they don't have like a live tab, or like, you know, you're on their homepage and when it says all their videos, you can be like videos, playlist, blah, blah, blah. And then there's just a red live thing that's only there when they're live. You click that, it brings them right to the,
I mean,
right,
it's just easy too for the people to, I guess, for the streamers to be discovered. Cause say you find a channel that you love their content. Oh, these videos are amazing. This or that. And you might have no idea they stream if they have this live button thing that you can click, like, hey, we see you watching these things, by the way, this person streams and are live right now. Like, oh cool, let me go check it out. And boom, this person who's enjoyed your videos can now become a member of watching your streams. Like, it right now, if you just go watch someone's videos, there's no thing to direct them to their live streaming thing. So it's kind of a missed opportunity for said streamer who has their videos, you know, getting a lot of views, maybe get some it's oh, yeah, your live
for
streams.
Sure. I think it's something they're working on. I would hope it's something they're working on. I believe because when Fwiz was on Nate Shaw Encourages podcast, I think he mentioned something to that effect. Like, yeah, we're working on it. Like, it's we realize, and this is before Courage had jumped.
Yeah.
I think, and it just came up in conversation in general, and Fwiz was like, yeah, we're working on it. You know, we really want to. He's like, I understand that the setup's not ideal, but yeah, we want to work it out. We want to make it so it's more streamlined and yada, yada, yada. So I would imagine that someone's working on it or a team of people are working on it at YouTube. So rest assured that something of that nature is probably coming.
I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah, so.
They're going ham on paying all these streamers. You got to bet they're paying. Dish out money to get their whole
developers live to have streaming everything just, looking good. Yeah,
to a T, just the best streaming website you could possibly find. You know they're going to be spending money on that stuff
yeah.
too.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. So, Ray to YouTube, it's interesting from multiple standpoints. You know, first big, big female streamer to jump, second 100 Thieves member to jump. So, there's things to look at on both sides of that situation. Another kind of interesting thing, streamer related. So apparently Tfue is buying a warehouse to build space to be able to coach and train new streamers, which I think is pretty funny.
I don't really know. Like, what does he mean by train new streamers? Like,
I don't know. Cause streaming's an interesting talent. It's a lot like stand-up comedian. Like you being a stand-up comedian, really you can't teach exactly. Like. Yeah, you can't really teach the personality. You can teach the business behind what to do, and you can teach how to play games better, and you can teach like how to have a good setup or like a good, you know, overlay, a good like screen presentation, but you can't really teach the personality to be someone that's going to attract other people to watch. You know what I mean?
100% agree. It's like, let's say like Doc. I love Doc's setup. All the green screens are freaking hilarious. But like, if you take me and place him in his amazing setup, it's like, sure, you're in an area with great overlays, great setups, this or that. But you can't really teach so much the personality. So I'd be sitting there like, hey, let's go to the gym. Oh, we're in the Doc Copper. Yeah, it's like you can only teach him. Like, you can teach him all those things you said, like good overlays, this or that. But that only gets you so far. It still comes down big time, like personality. This or that, having that, like a stage presence, one could say. So,
well, yeah, exactly. It's 100% true.
It's just gonna like, I don't know. I think it's just gonna divulge into him
some money
training people to be better gamers. Well, I mean, and didn't he, when he left FaZe, I don't know if it's him or his brother who said it, but I feel like someone said he wanted to make his own org, which I don't know if that was
Tfue.
It was from his brother. Oh, was it Tfue who said it or his brother?
Yeah, no, it was Tfue who said it. Said he wouldn't mind doing something like making his own org.
Because I feel like it's just gonna like kind of start as, hey, this is for streamers, and then it's gonna slowly just kind of, I don't want to say landslide, cause it's not a bad thing, but it's just gonna slowly alter into him making like teaching people how to be better gamers, and it just going into a possible new org. Is how I
Which isn't bad either,
but
going into, you gotta, the way I look at something like the way I would look at a business decision like that is, you know, it shouldn't be built in a sense that like, well, if we can't teach people how to stream, we can always easily pivot into teaching people how to game. Mm. You should go into your business decision having everything clearly outlined and saying, well, this is what we're going to do. Can it be done? One, and if it can't be done, why the fuck are we doing it? So, yeah, for all the things we've mentioned, I don't think you can really teach someone how to be a streamer because even the things I mentioned, like the more hard pressed technical things, like the things that you can actually teach someone how to do, like even a lot of that stuff's built on personality. Doc has all those different screens because that's his personality. His personality is like a sort of a secret agent, like Archer, millionaire type of person. Like that's the persona that he projects. And so that's why all those different screens are built the way that they are. That's why he has all those different transitions and all those different scenes, like I mentioned already. You know, whereas you don't have all those different scenes because that's not really your personality, so you're going to have a different setup. So teaching someone how to do the Photoshop, to build, you know, the Photoshop or the Illustrator, the Element, whatever program you use to build your overlays and stuff like that is one thing, but that's at that point, that's just a graphic design degree, more or less, you know, and Tfue's not a graphic artist, graphics artist or anything like that. So like, that's a whole different, you know, because it's a matter of, you know, teaching someone how to use the programs to build it. And then they've got to use their personality and how they come across on stream to build an overlay that fits their personality. And so you can't really teach that kind of shit. So this whole idea is really stupid in a couple ways, because one, could be an initial giant waste of money, because you're like, I'm going to teach people how to stream. And then they find out that you can't really do that. And they're like, okay, well, we'll pivot into teaching kids how to play games better. But all it really is playing Fortnite better, you know, in my mind. I know he's a good gamer in general, but you know, how you play Fortnite's not how you play PUBG, and that's not how you play Blackout. So those are three, and it's not how you play Apex either. Those are four battle royales, you know, you're all within the same battle royale genre, but you play those games all very differently. So teaching, you can't just, that's another thing, teaching, you know, video games from a genre basis, even within the genre, the games change how you're going to approach things. So there's a lot of moving parts with that idea that could go wrong fast. And
yeah, I mean,
so I think it's an interesting,
I'd like to see some form of, I don't know, layout, or like, it's one thing like, hey, I'm going to do this, but now I want him to come out like, all right, I'm going to do this, and this is how we're going to go about it. I'm just curious to see like what he's outlining.
Like a business plan, like other fucking person in the world needs to have before they start a business.
Wanna,
you know, market research.
I want to teach people how to be streamers, and this is how we'll do it. We'll teach this or that. Like, I'll just, when that comes out, if it comes out, I don't know. That's what I'll be interested to see, to read about. Like, okay, I like your idea. How are you going about doing this? Because teaching someone to do this, it's, I don't want to say it's tough, but it's a very strange thing to teach.
Like, well, and who are you going to get to teach him? Like,
is it just him sitting there doing this all himself?
Exactly.
Or is he going to hire people
but
to do
not it? Everyone, not everyone's going to be able to stream or be the same on-screen person that he is, you know?
I mean, and you have to get like other people who are different personalities than him.
Yeah, half the time, if he's trying to get other people that are big personalities, then really, who he should be hiring is other big streamers. Because if you're not a big streamer yourself, how are you going to teach people to be a big streamer?
Yeah, no one's going to take you seriously. Like, hey there, guys, I'm your teacher. I stream to 20 people. Like, get out of here. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Why am I
going
to listen to you? It's
so there's a lot of interesting pieces that need to fall into place. And what you said about having a plan, like I would like to see or hear or watch his business plan in some way, shape, or form. Because I think it's funny because how he had mentioned, you know, when the whole face thing kind of happened, he had mentioned he was maybe interested in starting his own org.
Yeah.
His dad also came out and said that his dad wanted to do something just like what this is right now, but bring people from Korea, like women, like female streamers from Korea to the States, and like give them a place to stream, or like give them the facilities to stream and teach them how to stream better, because the population, the eyes, the viewership is so much higher in China and Korea that there's so much room to capitalize on putting out a good streamer out in that market, because there's just so much untapped talent, like untapped viewers.
It'd be only females though.
Well, why do you think? Because everyone fucking knows that female streamers are much easier to break through.
His dad to say that.
Oh yeah. Well, because they're all, the whole family is a bunch of surfer bros.
Yeah, I thought I read that somewhere. I'm like, there's no way this is serious. Like, his dad's actually saying this. But
no, it was 100. I mean, from what I read, so who knows? I mean, this whole idea of him, you know, this whole idea of him wanting to buy a warehouse space could transition into that, like, we're going to teach female, you know, Asian streamers how to stream better. And it's like, this could get real creepy really fast.
Yeah, it's turning
into a there's a lot of Me Too and happening in that.
Turned into a freaking a house raid on coach.
Oh,
real
God,
quick, like,
I know, yeah.
Oh, what's up, bro? We're teaching streamers. That's all we're doing.
We're just teaching streamers, man.
Fucking legit, man. Pog.
The cops are like, what the fuck does Pog mean?
I don't
care. Do you have drugs? Do you have any drugs here? Pog. Pog.
Chillax, bro.
Is Pog a drug?
Are 90s
a drug? They're cranking 90s. That's got to be a drug, right?
I heard my kid cranking 90s the other day, man. He freaked out.
We'll see what happens. Well, the funny thing is, on that whole train of thought of the older generation not knowing what the lingo of the newer generation, when all those current streamers, you know, our parents, that lingo is going to all be like normal. And then who knows what the new lingo is going to be like. So like you're gonna have like Tfue being a parent in like 30 years saying pog to his kid. And then his kid's going to be saying some fucking random who fuck what knows, you know, saying to him back to him. And Tfue's going to be like one going like, what the hell? What does that mean? Where he's just, it's just funny to think about. But
just
yeah,
to a bunch of just emotes. That's how.
Oh my god! That's how. Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah. So, you know, we left hieroglyphics to spoken and written word, and we're kind of drifting back towards hieroglyphics. So that's just kind of exactly.
Oh, interesting here. This is a kappa followed by a pogchamp. Ooh, I've never seen that before.
I know. Fucking history repeats itself, man. So we're just—it's a vicious cycle. God. But so the Tfue thing's kind of interesting, and
I'll definitely keep an eye on it. It's just,
I mean, it depends how much money he spent on it too. Like, is he gonna build like a how many stations is he gonna build? Is it like where is the warehouse gonna be? Like, how many people is he gonna build a house at one time? Is it gonna be like a camp where they can stay overnight or over the summer? Like, you know, it's an interesting. There's a lot of things that have yet to be filled in, a lot of blanks, and that's. You know, I think both of our opinions are the same that like, hey, we kind of want to see what these blanks are because that's a really important factor on what's going to how the success of the plan is going to be, you know?
Oh, I'll keep an ear to the ground for it whenever he comes out with his plans. But until then, I'm just kind of like, question marks all around, but let's see what you can do.
Yeah, for sure. So shifting away from streamers and the personalities, back more towards games. Really cool released information. You know, it was announced last week, I think it was. Pokemon Sword and Shield getting big expansions, of them. One in June of 2020, that's called the Isle of Armor. And the other one hasn't have a hard date yet, but it's set for fall of 2020, and that's called Crown of Tundra. So that's pretty cool. $30 gets you both. You can pre-order that now.
I think it's
that's
a good deal, too.
That's a great deal.
For based how much they're giving you.
Yeah, based on what I've been reading, over 200 existing Pokemon being brought in. In the Crown of Tundra, there's a ton of legendaries that are being added, like older legendaries. So two new areas as a whole. And I even think I read somewhere that there'll be some new Pokemon specific to those areas too. So you'll get some existing Pokemon in that 200. So I think it's over 200 existing, and then there's going to be a handful maybe of new Pokemon.
New, is it like kind of just like Galar version of so and so?
I don't know actually. So they said
a
new
thing that came out is Galar Slowpoke, which you can catch right now. I think he got added in Pokemon Sword and Shield. You can get him now because I'm still new in playing the game. I went to a station because someone said, "Hey, go to the stations in so and so place." So I did. And some lady talking about how she's going to the Isle of Armor. So I'm like, I already have an update in there talking
That's
about it. And then a Slowpoke rolls out that you can catch, and it's called like a Galar Slowpoke, which I think is, to them, it's quote unquote new, but I'm not sure just because it's
so
new.
That might,
a region specific one.
From what I was reading, it just said new, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think.
Yeah, I hope
you gotta parse new out new. That new, yeah. So yeah. new would be cool, but if it's just like a region specific, then you know that is what it is too. But I mean, those are still cool too. Like the region, the Galar specific wheezing and coughing, like those are different. Those are kind of cool. So, but yeah. So I think this is interesting because when Sword and Shield first was announced, and we talked about it a little bit on the podcast, and we had mentioned like with it coming to an actual console, are they going to release new games every 2 years or however long it's been, or are they just going to basically expand off the base of Sword and Shield and just keep giving DLCs? Because they could go in either way, really. I was talking about this with one of my coworkers, actually, that plays Sword and Shield, and you know, we were kind of throwing around ideas like, yeah, you can do new games. There'll be just continuations or new story, you know, new stories or whatever they, you know, it'll be the same model that they've been using up until this point. So they'll do new games, new starters, new regions, potentially, yada, yada, yada. Or, you know, they use Sword and Shield as just kind of the backbone and they build around it. And kind of each new DLC is essentially like its own new game.
Yeah.
And, you know,
the same realm.
Yeah. But they give new regions and, you know, we were talking and we're like, well, how do you counteract, like, you have your massive, you know, your starter Pokemon, they're all level, or you have your team and they're all level 100. How do you manage that when bringing your character to a new region to basically start a new quote-unquote game. And he actually brought something up which I thought was kind of interesting. Chester, if you're listening to this at all, this is 100% your idea. But he said, you know, with the game and with the regions that they have set up, mm-hmm. and they could basically institute like some sort of immigration or import like hang up, like, oh, you're coming into a new region, you know, until we clear your Pokemon, we have to keep them, you know, basically like it's sort of like how you do with invasive species now in the real world. Like you can't just bring any animal you want to any country, in, you know, to some extent, they have to go through immigration and, or not immigration, but it, whatever it's called, import, export, yada, yada, yada. So it would be kind of cool if they did something like that. Like you go to a new region, like, so the Galar region's what they're in now. And they're like, okay, cool. Like the next region's the whatever region, like travel there via the plane to start your next adventure.
Just roll off with
no, you get there. Well, yeah, you get there and they're like, hey, we have to take your Pokemon. We have to scan them, you know, make sure that they're not bringing in anything. You know, it gets a little more, I think it strays a little bit away from the kid aspect of Pokemon, you know, the kid friendly aspect.
I'm sure they can make it kid wise somehow.
Yeah. And then basically you have to choose your own you have to choose a new starter. You do the new starter, you go through gyms, but as you beat gyms, you unlock the ability to get your old Pokemon back. So like, you know, you get through the fifth gym, you get like 3 out of your 5.
Or do you go to a certain level? Like,
or yeah,
this gym you can get level 20s. I mean, I guess it's gonna be super fucking high by then though.
So yeah, but I just think that's kind of an interesting idea that, you know, because they're probably going to go the new game every couple of years just because they make more money doing it that way. That's my thought.
I think so too.
But I was also thinking like this would be a cool way to go too, because then they could keep everything in one system. They could update it, you know, just does it over the air via the internet, yada, 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 all that stuff. I just thought that was a cool, you know, we got talking and I was like, that's a really cool idea. I don't, you know, in my heart of hearts, I don't think they're going to do that.
No,
so.
I don't think so either. But I mean, definitely would be cool. Like, yeah, I like the game they have now. I'd like them to keep building on it. And these two new expansion packs are definitely building on it. It's awesome.
Yeah.
I didn't know they're going to drop stuff so fast and for it to be so big. Like, honey, the area looks large. All the extra Pokemon they're bringing in. And
I think they need to make the game harder too. They need to have some sort of way to make the game more challenging.
Like choose a difficulty setting. Like
yeah, that too.
Like it's just one setting. Like change it so I don't know. Yeah, so Pokemon trainers would act how I would act. Like your Pokemon's about to die and you don't throw a potion or something like that, or it's they're using like a Leer or Tail Whip.
Well, yeah, I was just gonna say that. Like I never, and so I don't competitively battle, like I don't battle generally against any human opponents, and so I think, you know, if you were to do battles against human opponents, like an online battle system, like yeah. I'm of the mindset that those types of status move, you know, the status affecting moves are probably more important when fighting other humans, because you know you're thinking through the battle a lot differently. But yeah, as far as you know, as me playing against the computer, I never keep any of those moves. All attacks. If it can't do damage, I'm not keeping it. And so I think that's a good point for the computer too. Like, yeah, you fight so many people where they're just like, Tail Whip, Tail Whip, Tail Whip. And then they use like Tackle. And you're like, why? What?
And it's like by
you're a computer? You're a computer. Them. Yeah, exactly. So there are some things I think they need to do to make the game a little bit more difficult. And there's a lot of complaints about the wild area, how it's just some giant open area with not a whole lot to do, and the graphics aren't all that great. So there's a lot of things that they probably are going to want to fix in a new game.
It has a bunch of different, like, you know, different types of Pokemon around it. I don't know.
Yeah.
I got to the first wild area for finally the Sword and Shield, and it's just like, just a variety of Pokemon was really nice. But yeah, I guess other than that, I can see how it's just kind of nothing. It's just a place to go catch Pokemon, but
yeah,
I didn't mind it. It's cool.
It's a good place to grind, too.
I think, like, this was kind of, this expansion pack was, I guess, foreseeable, one could say, because when the game first came out, everyone's complaining because it's not every single Pokemon's in the game. It's like, well, yeah. I mean, obviously, because they probably want to save everyone for content, because now they're releasing this.
They want to save them for money purposes, because you will buy them.
Yep, release this for another $30 that you're going to get from every single person who bought the game. and you get 200 more Pokemon. And then after that, hey, here's another thing for another $30 more 200 so on Pokemon. So yeah, they obviously, they want to do it for cash, people. They want to hang off having everyone for cash, yeah. Which, oh, yeah. And they're also in, I think it was February, they're releasing that Pokemon Home application where you can deposit your Pokemon into this server thing across like all your games. You can then send them to this. Yeah. So it's like a, I think you got to pay for it monthly though to have it, but yeah, you have, you buy this thing called Pokemon Home and you can just send Pokemon from all your different games you have into this home. And then if said Pokemon can be brought to, you know, said game, you can then take it out of home into whatever game you want to have. So like you play Pokemon Sun, you want to put a Pokemon from that into home, and then that Pokemon that can come out of your home into Sword, you can do that. And you just
put
Pokemon into it and take it out to wherever they can go.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, so
I mean, that's
coming out. And
it's all cash grabs for sure.
Oh, yeah. So that's coming out. And then on top of that, they just keep adding more Pokemon and keep adding them into the set. Another cool little feature that we talk about is you can get all the new Pokemon that are coming from the Tundra and of armor without actually like having to have the DLC. So say like you don't have the DLC, but you have a friend who has like extras, like here, I'll give you one. You can acquire this new Pokemon without having to have the area, which is very nice. It would been really dick move to kind of like, yeah, we have these, these new Pokemon, but you can't get it until you give us money. Ha ha ha. So it's
that's
really
very,
nice that,
that's a very EA Blizzard Activision route. So I'm glad to see that they're not doing that.
Yeah. It's nice that they're giving you a chance. Like, hey, if you can't afford it, but you got some friends who are like, hey, yeah, I'll also catch that for you. Whatnot.
Yeah. Here,
you can have my extra Pokemon, but you just miss out on, I guess, the adventure part. Cause they are adding like gyms or rivals or something like that too. So there's more areas.
Yeah, yeah. There's stories.
It's not just an island or an area with Pokemon and that's it. There's stories. There's things to do.
So, yeah, I think it's interesting. And, you know, like I said, my heart of hearts, I think they're going to basically do the new game method, you know, every couple of years. But then I think they're also going to implement this DLC for every new game that they make so that you can get more out of your game, because that is a big problem as an adult playing Pokemon. There's a lot of problems with being an adult playing Pokemon, but the big problem game wise is the minute you beat it, and there's kind of not a whole lot to do.
End game stuff.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot to do from there. You know, you could go back through and start a new game, choose a different starter, catch all different Pokemon, but it's really the same thing over and over again at that point. So.
I mean, hell, they made Pokemon Soul Silver and Heart Gold. Or something, whatever. And that is two full regions. Like you beat the a new region.
Yeah, that's
or not new.
Yeah.
You beat the region that was in the original Silver or original Gold, and then you can then travel back to the region from Red, Blue, and Yellow.
Yeah.
And go through all those gyms again. It's just they bump all the levels up, obviously, because they to what you expect it to be.
And I love that because I was so sick of like Pokemon games on the actual Game Boys and stuff like that I was playing them on ROMs on the computer. You get an emulator and you get ROMs. And there was one ROM. It was a hack ROM. I can't remember what it was called. But it had every Pokemon that was ever available up to that point that was on the Game Boy Advance, like any game that came out on Game Boy Advance generation, I think. It had all those Pokemon, and it had like three regions. Like you had to basically go through and beat each region, go to the next one, do all the eight gyms, the final four. And it was tough. And I don't think I was like even close to beating it when I kind of stopped playing it, because it was just like, it was a lot to do. And that's an interesting concept, and I definitely feel like it's something they maybe should explore with the next game that comes out on the Switch.
Like I said, it's something they've done already, so they know how to do it. They can just implement it onto a console.
And that just gives people much more content. There's more playability.
Oh, yeah.
It keeps people satiated for longer. Like they have Pokemon content to do for longer, so they're not basically... I feel like all the negative press from a lot of these games come about after people beat the game and they're just playing it over and over again, and they're basically, nothing's new to them, so they have, you know, all the new shine and gleam and like the things that are of interest to find out about the game are gone, so you're just sitting there finding all the flaws. And so the longer they can keep people immersed in new shiny things, the longer it'll take before everyone rips the flaws.
It's either that game, or implement a little bit of Pokemon Go action where the 8 actual gyms in the game are legit owned and defended by other players.
That would be interesting too.
So you have to, you know, train, because obviously the trainers or the gym leader there are going to continually be training their Pokemon. So you have to really grind to get yours to be powerful enough. And then even if you do beat them, then you have to keep yourself on your toes to be strong enough to be anyone to come challenge you. I mean, that would be hella fun to actually own your own gym.
That's a really cool idea. Hey, Game Freak,
Game Freak, hit me
up. Give us a cut.
Think what you should do is, though, like, have you go through, beat the 8 gyms, I guess, AI version, because there'll be people who will complain, like, I can't actually beat the gyms. So have it, you know, you play the game, everyone's AI, you can beat it, this or that. But then once the game's over, then you have access to, like, all right, do you want to, you know, switch this feature on where all 8 gyms, you have to redo them, but they're owned by legit people. And then,
and
game content, just guarding your gym or whatnot.
Yep. So more games. So that's Pokemon. You know, 2020 is going to be a good year for Pokemon as well expansions. Some other games, you know, we kind of had a list of notable games to be on the lookout for in 2020. And this is not, again, by all means, an exhaustive list. This is just some games that tick our interests. And so, and they're big in general too. There's a lot of buzz around them as a whole. So there's the Final Fantasy VII remake. I know a lot of people have been looking out for that. People are super excited for that. Initially it was set to come out in March of this year. So in less than 2 months. But it was recently just announced that it was delayed to just a month. So it was delayed to April 10th of 2020. So Final Fantasy VII remake, April 10th, 2020, 1 month, not a big deal.
No.
Last of Us Part II. This is probably one of the bigger, if not the biggest, games that people are looking out for.
Can't wait for that.
This year that comes out in May of 2020.
And that is the updated delay time, right? Because this got delayed also.
To my knowledge, that's the updated state.
Because that also got delayed too, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Cyberpunk 2077, again, another big release that a lot of people are looking forward to. Mm-hmm. CD Projekt Red, CD Projekt Red, the people that brought you the Witcher games, they're fantastic. You know, I would say they're a fantastic studio. They really do right by their gamers, by their patrons. That was set to come out in April 16th of 2020. This has been delayed 5 months to September 17th of 2020. So that's a big hit. That's a big delay.
That one's a big gap.
But I've even heard that is just the single player. They still are trying to implement multiplayer into this sort of, you know, I would assume similar to how GTA maybe is doing it or whatever. But either way, they're planning to implement multiplayer facets into this game. And that September 17th release date doesn't include the multiplayer. Multiplayer would still be delayed even further from that initial release date is from things that I've read. So that kind of sucks, but I want to get my hands on just the game, the single player game as a whole.
Yeah, say single player is all I'm looking forward to anyway. So
I mean,
take all the time on your multiplayer, I guess.
Yeah. And so there's a few things. I want to finish this list and then I have a few kind of points. Halo Infinite. So there's no hard launch date for this, but it is in 2020. Everyone and their mother can probably assume that it's going to be released in the holiday season when the new Xbox is released. That's probably the guess. That's probably the going. What's going to happen? They're going to release it on the same day. Yeah, the same day that the new Xbox is released.
Yep. Boom! New console. Here's our staple. Yep. Halo. Here you go.
New console. New Halo. New year. Yep. Who dis? Marvel's Avengers. So this is a big game. A lot of people have been hyping this up. It looks good. We got a lot of beta testing footage. There's a lot of streamers when the beta, I think it was the beta, went out, and this was like 4 months ago maybe. A lot of people were playing this on Twitch for the beta. This has also been delayed, kind of a big hit. It was going to come out in May of 2020, but this again got delayed to September 4th of 2020, so another 5 month delay.
Say September about to be popping real quick. Then.
Yeah, September's looking real good for games, honestly. But the big thing with Marvel's I didn't read any specific site. You know, all these companies when they say they're released, they always say the same shit. Like, oh, we're delaying so that we can provide the best gaming experience to our customers. Yada yada yada. With CD Projekt Red and Cyberpunk, I honestly believe that. You know, I assume that it's a big city. I know they want to pack a lot into the game. Mm-hmm. So I think they're just trying to make everything run as efficiently and as smoothly and look as good as they can and have things to do throughout the world. I believe that. From Avengers, you know, honestly, I think they're probably going to do some character redesigns because a lot of people didn't like the look of like Thor, a couple other characters, but also the voice acting. The voice acting, not a lot of people were too keen on the voice actors either. So there may be some character redesigns and there may be some voiceover work being changed with Avengers.
What do you think? They're going to like get to actual people? Like they're going to get
No, not at all. I just think that the people, and part of the problem, I think a lot of people are too tied, and to Marvel's credit, they killed it in the casting for the movies. And now everyone, people can't separate Thor from Chris Hemsworth. Yeah. Like you say Thor, you're like, yeah, it is Chris Hemsworth. Thor is Chris Hemsworth. Chris Hemsworth is Thor. And so I think that is part of the problem. But I do think outside of that, I do even think that the voice actors were a little lackluster from what I've seen or from what I had watched with the Avengers game. So I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Definitely down for like a little bit of redesigns. Cause I mean, Thor looks like he took his fucking mother's dinner plates off the table and duct taped it to his chest. Like that's what his suit looks like. He needs a little touch up. So I'm down for, I definitely think maybe some character redesigns are in order. Obviously, I mean, there's that public outcry to get Sonic changed in that movie and it happened. So I'm pretty sure there's plenty of outcry to, change up.
Oh, there was,
how these characters looked like in this Avengers game. I think that's what the majority of this delay probably is going back and redesigning, a good chunk of those characters they made.
It's possible.
But with Cyberpunk, like you said, I think they want to make this game just A+ and run like a boss. So that,
I mean, CD Projekt Red are ballers.
Yeah. I'll wait longer to have a game that'll run smoothly instead of just come out and give me the buggiest piece of crap I've ever seen in my life. So take your time. Yeah. This game looks like it could be awesome. So get this thing nailed down.
Yeah. Resident Evil 3, that's a remake as well. That's coming out in April. To my knowledge, there's been no delays on that as of now. So they're still shooting for an April release date. Dying Light 2, probably not a super well-known game. Dying Light 1 was fun. We played it. We got it for Black Friday. It's a zombie, a zombie game.
Parkour game.
And it's very interesting. Like, you go out during the day, the zombies don't move. You can go and do whatever you want. So there's an actual like day night cycle built into the game. You can find things, you can build different weapons based on what you find in the environment and stuff like that. So there's a lot of cool mechanics and it was a lot of fun to play. I don't know what the initial release date was slated for this, but this has also been delayed as well. And they haven't given an expected date with the delay. So all they said was it's been delayed. The same shtick again. We're trying to give you the best product possible, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So I think it's interesting. So those are some games to look out for. So that's cool. And as we get closer to these games, we'll probably have more talks, more episodes based on, the majority of the episode based on those games. But I look at this list and I see all the delays. And one thing that comes to mind right off the bat is, has the gaming industry finally gotten the message? And that message being, we as gamers are sick and tired of games being released that are barely above beta status. Like, Anthem is a perfect example.
I think Anthem maybe is the
the
poster child for this thing.
Exactly. Like, have they finally gotten the message that we are sick of spending $60 for basic, and then obviously a lot of these games have, collector's editions, blah, 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 and a lot of people buy that stuff, $60 to $100 to $150 for a game to get an unfinished piece of shit. Like, have they finally heard what we've had to tell them? And these delays are driven by the fact that they're looking at it going, oh shit, if we release this, it's going to be half done and we're going to get our fucking asses chewed. Like,
I think so. I think people are, they're hearing the outcry like, all right, let's get this thing right. Let's release it and not have it just be, let's not release it and then we'll fix it from there. Just take your time. Give us the finished product. People will wait. People will complain about the wait for it, but like once they get their hands on it, if it's polished and perfect, then all the complaining will stop. Where now,
exactly.
Now it gets released, and sure, they have it in their hands, but it's not perfect and polished. So then the shitstorm of complaints just continues on and on and on and on and on and on and on. So if you finish it, get it out there perfect, then all the complaining will stop.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you look at two games released this year. You look at Anthem. You know, obviously, so the two games that I'm going to talk about are two, they're different games genre-wise, but you have Anthem released, total trash fire, like, it was half done. A lot of people would say it was probably half done when it was released, you know. There was virtually no content. It was just a lot of go here, get this, defend that, a lot of grinding missions, and it just wasn't in a finished state, what you'd consider a finished state. Then you get a game like Jedi Fallen Order. You know, I don't think there were any delays. Or was there a delay? I don't think there were any delays in the development. They did what they needed to do. They did their development proper. They gave enough time. They released a game that was finished and polished from the get-go. And look at it. It went off like gangbusters. It was one of the best games of the year.
Awesome.
Critically acclaimed. You know, a lot of people loved it. And yeah, granted, they're two different types of games, but the fact of the matter is one released not finished and it got a ton of backlash. One released finished. I mean, granted it was a good game, you know, so if it had released finished, but it was a shitty game, then it would be a different subject, but you know, it released finished and it was a good game. Mm-hmm. And the fact that it was finished helped it also be better. You know, if it was a good game, but it wasn't finished, then that's like the worst. If it's a good game and it's like 75% done, yeah, you're like, fuck, like what the shit? Like, why couldn't you have just waited, you know, pushed back the release like 6 months and given me 100% of the game right out of the gate. So I definitely think a lot of these delays stem from that fact that I think finally the industry and these big studios are starting to hear consumers and listen a bit and say, well, fuck, like, you know, every game that's released this year that hasn't been completely 100% done has kind of gotten the shit reamed out of it. I think we should definitely give a buffer time to make sure the game is completely finished. So,
I mean, I hope so. Like I said, I feel like plenty of people game, you get enough people to complain, the voice will be heard. And I think
those
people,
and the second point
to it.
Yeah. And the second point too, just based on this list that we've gotten, a lot of these are single player games.
I think single player games are making a pushback.
Well, and that's the other point. That's another kind of point that I wanted to bring up is, you know, you hit it right on the head. Like single player, like EA has disillusioned the gaming world into thinking that people only want online games. You know, it can have a story, but as long as it's a story like an MMO, like you have to play with friends, like people want online capabilities in every facet of their game. But you look at this list and you're like, yeah, some of these games are going to have online capabilities for sure. Like Halo for sure is going to have a match, you know, online matchmaking, but it's going to have a story. It's going to have a main player story. And a lot of these other games are solely single player games. And you, again, referencing Fallen Order, 100% single player, no online. Awesome game. There has been so few really well put together single player games out there that tell a good story and tell it effectively that these few games that have come out recently, people are like praising them like the messiah because they're like, oh my god, they're so good. But in all reality, it's just we've had such shitty single player games for so long that these new ones are a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, like two of the past couple games I've played over the year that I just like can't find myself, I can't peel myself away from it. It's like God of War and Jedi Fallen Order, both 110% single player. That's all you can do. Yep. And they are just freaking phenomenal. So you do a single player game right, it's awesome. Like you don't try to half-ass something. I think Anthem, the problem with Anthem, they kind of got caught in is they wanted to give you a single player-esque game that can be played with friends. And I don't think they could really balance that too well. So
I think they
kind of don't get a choice to either do it single player or do it multiplayer.
But. And then that's always been my concern with games like The Division and stuff like that is there's multiplayer aspects to it. And I think that's great, but it makes certain areas almost impossible unless you do have friends.
I want Cyberpunk to kind of be straight up like GTA style, where GTA had its completely own like story you can do. And then you can boot up an online client and go online and do stuff. I want like the online, the single player to kind of be separate entities, I guess, because the single player for Cyberpunk looks like it can be amazing.
Yeah, and based on how, you know, because if you figured it was, if the single player and the multiplayer were going to go hand in hand, and you could basically run, you were running through kind of an online world at all times, the whole game, the game as a whole would have to be delayed until the multiplayer is finished. So you can kind of take hope in that, saying like, oh, it's it probably is going to be like that. Like GTA is.
Because if, if the single player is getting delayed, and or if the single player and the multiplayer are kind of coming out two different times, and one could think that they're kind of in two different realms, but of the same game.
So that's interesting. I mean, so those 2 points kind of jumped out at me the minute I saw, I kind of put together this list and I saw the delays and all this stuff. So those things were kind of like boom right then and there. So I think that's, interesting. I think both of those things are good for gamers in the long run. So here's hoping that that's the case. So, all right.
We'll see.
You want to wrap this bitch up?
Yeah. I got to get ready for work, dog.
Yeah, bud. All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for listening. We really appreciate it. Again, we're on episode number 12. It's crazy. We just surpassed 200 plays like a week ago.
What are we talking about?
Oh, yeah, 250. We surpassed 250 a week ago from this recording.
Real quick, shout out to my boy Fool Screwdriver. We are apparently 30th in Finland for gaming podcasts. I think that's all my boy Fool, just watching over and over again. So, Fool, we love you, dog.
Yeah, so, yeah, we that's cool. Yeah, we number 30 in the Apple Podcasts gaming section, which I think is kind of neat. So all of our Finland listeners, keep it up. We really appreciate it. Really, all of our listeners in general, we appreciate the support like crazy. leaving ratings and reviews on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening to your podcasts are really helpful. But also word of mouth is really helpful. So if you love the podcast, you have friends, family members, that you think will love it, just tell them. Let them know. Say, hey, you know, I listen to this cool podcast with these cool two idiots that like to talk about games. You should check it out, you know. Word of mouth really helps us out. And other than that, hit us on our socials. The show has a Twitter and Instagram. Both of them are W_key_podcast. And then my Twitter is jfrosty. That's J_FR05TY. jfrosty, you can hit me on there. Matt, why don't you drop your socials with them?
We got Technique on Twitter and Technique on TikTok. Make hilarious videos, but not really, though. And Technique TV on Instagram. And then if you want to come hang out, chat with me live, I stream kind of like Tuesdays and Thursdays, sometimes on the weekend, over at twitch.tv/technique.
Boom. That's going to do it for this episode. Again, everyone, thank you so much for the support. We really, really appreciate it. We'll catch you guys on the next episode. And always remember, you can't spell win without W.